Well, good morning to you. A warm welcome to all who join with us today here at TBC as we conclude our series on Proverbs. We've gone full circle in that we finished today just as we started, with the question, wisdom or foolishness? Which do we choose? However, before we go any further, I want us to remind ourselves that today is Pentecost. I believe it's important that we mark these special days in the church calendar. Firstly, because they give a natural rhythm to our church year. And secondly, in doing so, we are joining with our brothers and sisters in the faith throughout the world. One church, one faith, one Lord. To echo the refrain of the old hymn, "Thy hand, O God, has guided thy church from age to age." So as we worship together this morning, we celebrate that wonderful gift of Jesus to the church of the Holy Spirit. And without him, of course, without the Holy Spirit, Proverbs or indeed any scripture is spiritually lifeless. But praise God, the Spirit brings life. In the words of Jesus himself, in John 6:63, he says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. The words of Jesus. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit of Jesus, be with us today and open up the truths of the Word of God to our understanding. Reveal to us your wisdom, that we may recognize and turn away from foolishness, trusting always the advice and direction of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now this morning we are set the task of closing our Proverbs series. And we do that with chapters, wait for it, 26, 27, 30, and 31. And before I read those to you, I'm only joking. We're not really going to read all those four chapters, but I will be selecting appropriate verses. Before that, I want to read a New Testament passage. Be very familiar, but it sets the scene as we contemplate for the last time in this series, wisdom and foolishness. So the passage is from Matthew 7, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, the words of Jesus, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Did you notice that last couple of verses? When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. That is the perfect example of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, bringing life and authority to the words of Jesus. And that's the same Holy Spirit he gives to us today. Thank you, Lord. Well, anyway, there we have it. Wisdom and foolishness. Wise and foolish builders. And of course, Jesus is not really talking about building houses, but about building lives. The wise listen to the words of Jesus and act upon them. The foolish, well, they hear, but they take no notice of the advice that he gives. Each of us must decide for ourselves which category we choose. Will we be wise or foolish? We could finish there. Point made. You may want to do that. Switch off your computer, your iPad, your phone, whatever you're watching on at this point. I, however, am tasked with delving into these four chapters, and what I intend to do is simply make a few observations using example verses. So one chapter at a time, and we commence with, of course, chapter 26. Excuse me. Some proverbs are almost satirical, using irony, humor, sarcasm, and even ridicule at times to expose weakness. Listen to these verses, for example, found in chapter 26, and I'm reading from the Message. You're only asking for trouble when you send a message by a fool. A proverb quoted by fools is limp as a wet noodle. Create your own images as I read these proverbs. I love that one. Putting a fool in a place of honor is like setting a mud brick on a marble column. To ask a moron to quote a proverb is like putting a scalpel in the hands of a drunk. Hire a fool or a drunk, and you shoot yourself in the foot. And so it goes on. This chapter, while seemingly poking fun at fools, in fact uses that humor to highlight the danger of foolishness. It also points the finger at sluggards. And that's a fascinating word, isn't it? Sluggard. To me, it suggests slug-likeness. And we all know that though slugs seem to just lay about doing nothing but leaving slimy trails, they do a lot of damage. Witness my lettuce, or the French beans in my garden. In fact, you'll be hard pressed to witness the French beans because there's very little left of them at the moment. Slugs do much damage, and sluggards, lazy idlers, damage society by their failure to contribute. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hands in the dish and he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. The author also revisits that thorny issue, that danger of the tongue, equating loose use of the tongue with foolishness. And examples are given of liars, of troublemakers, the quarrelsome, the gossipers. But finally, towards the end, sound advice is offered. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. We move on to chapter 27. Now, this chapter is completely different in tone to the previous one. Gone is the satire, the humour, the ridicule, the sarcasm. It offers more straightforward, more helpful, more practical advice and wisdom. There's a more positive note, and it speaks, among other things, of the value of a very precious commodity, friendship. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, says verse 9, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And what is more precious and more uplifting and encouraging than genuine friendship? And then we think of Jesus, friend of sinners, the best encourager of all. And this chapter also considers and advises prudence. I guess we could call that stewardship or careful management. Verse 12, the prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple or foolish keep going and pay the penalty. The whole chapter supports the value of wisdom. And it's yet another challenge to us. Which do we choose? Foolishness or wisdom? The sheer variety in the book of Proverbs is overwhelming, really, especially some of those chapters that throw at us proverb after proverb after proverb. And that variety is well illustrated in chapter 30. Now, chapter 30 is recorded as the sayings of Augur. Now, he's someone we never hear of again, and we've never heard of him before. So he appears in chapter 30 of Proverbs, and that's it. Now, verse 1 refers to this chapter as an inspired utterance. And I take that to mean that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always been at work. And God, in the Old Testament, touched men and women, anointing them with the Holy Spirit in accord with what he wanted to bring about through them. But at Pentecost, Jesus gifted the Holy Spirit to all men, all women, to his church. And that's slightly different. We are blessed indeed. But chapter 30, an inspired utterance. It continues with thoughts about God that are reminiscent in some ways to Job or some of the Psalms. The first section, the early verses, then close in a prayer-like fashion, which in some ways parallels parts of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Verse 2, do not refuse me before I die. Sorry, verse 7. Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Prior to that, the author states, verse 5, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. So immediately we get the impression of a wise man. Wise because first he looks Godwards and is humbled by the divine. And then, having looked towards God, he looks upon the world of men, of animals, of nature. In other words, he looks upon the rest of God's creation. And he notes a number of facts which he records for his readers' consideration. And they are sort of parables of either wisdom or foolishness. And again, we're asked to choose between the two. Then inevitably, we arrive at the last chapter of Proverbs, chapter 31. Now, in some translations, this chapter is entitled The Wife of Noble Character. Not surprising, because those words appear in the midst of the chapter. Now, initially, it appears to be the advice of King Lemuel, I've not heard of him either. Of King Lemuel to his son. I'll give you a few sample verses to get the flavor. So verse 10 begins, a wife of noble character. Who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field. She buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out. So it continues. I vaguely remember a best man at a wedding reading quite a portion of this chapter out. It might even have been my own wedding, come to think of it. Excuse me. And he concluded with the comment, as I remember, something like, and if you can live with a woman like that, you're a better man than me. This really is some superwoman, equally comfortable at home or in society, not afraid of hard work, practical but with a sharp business brain, with compassion for the poor. She has a sense of humor. She's faithful, she is wise, and the list goes on. But although it seems to be a picture of a perfect wife, it's really a lyrical poem, and it is a poem, each line beginning with a subsequent letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's an acrostic. It's a lyrical poem that personifies wisdom. And it reveals to us that wisdom's not restricted to religious matters, but it's concerned with impacts on every aspect of our lives. So here is a description of the results of choosing wisdom over foolishness. And it seems to produce a life that flourishes, a life that is based on faith in God. The Old Testament, from a Christian perspective, should be read and understood in the light of the New Testament, in the light of Jesus. We noted at the outset the parable of the wise and foolish builders. The wise put the words of Jesus into practice. And Paul comes to the conclusion that Jesus himself is wisdom. So we could say chapter 31 is a picture of Jesus. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, God has united you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. So we finish with the thought that we began with all those weeks ago. We finish with the same question that we asked ourselves when we embarked on this series. What will each of us choose? Wisdom or foolishness? Jesus or something else? And I conclude with the same verse that I used 3 or 4 weeks ago when we thought about the danger of the tongue. When again, Paul, this time writing to the Colossians, said, live wisely. Just unpack that and remember that the wise not only hears the word of Jesus, but carries the words out. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. We close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this series we embarked upon several weeks ago, looking at the book of Proverbs, examining how we might live wisely. We thank you for all those who contributed to the book of Proverbs long ago and that we still have it to refer to. But we also thank you for Jesus, who is wisdom made flesh for our benefit. We pray that day by day we will hearken to his words as he leads us through our lives, that we may walk hand in hand with him, him who is wisdom, and therefore will guide us to live in wise ways to his glory. Amen. Well, thank you for your spending your time sharing with us today. God bless you all.